Wiggily Superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Wiggily Superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're discussing the role of a vocal director in a stage musical. Joining me today is vocal director Susan Falbo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now let's just jump right in. How would you describe the role of a vocal director for a stage musical?
Excellent question. I think it's very important to work with the artistic director's vision, and then it is really the job of the vocal director to prepare the actors and vocally and get them ready, and also interpret the music.
Very good. Okay. Now, each person's journey to a certain job is unique to that individual. What is your vocal background that allows you to be such a talented vocal director?
I've been singing my whole life, but I, as a young girl, performed in many community theater productions in Iowa. I studied music ed at Simpson College, and I also did a lot of opera training at Simpson College, and I've directed an internationally acclaimed children's chorus. I've directed in several churches, local churches, and then some theater productions. So my hands have always been in music, I guess I can say.
Very good. You know, a lot of people have a background in the church music as well. So that was very interesting. Do you find there are similarities between the musical theater and church?
I actually do, because it is an important aspect of worship, and it's also, you know, music is one of the most important things in music theater, and you're also working with, in community theater especially, you're working with volunteers, and it's very important to understand how volunteers work and just, you know, making it a great experience for everybody involved.
Very good. Now, as you alluded to, a vocal director typically partners with an artistic director as well as a choreographer and an orchestra director. How early in the process do you start team meetings to generate the consensus approach to the musical that you're working on?
It varies, you know, show to show, and it varies with the artistic team. But generally, once an artistic team is chosen, they like to start the process before auditions occur, because you want to be on the same page with the vision and what you're seeing, as, you know, who you kind of have in mind for roles and just the basic outline of what you're looking for your team.
Now, could you maybe walk us through the process, starting with getting the job and then going up to auditions?
Sure. So once you get hired, it is very important to do research, studying the lyrics, analyzing the music. How do they marry the music to the lyrics? And I also do a lot of listening. So I think it's very important to do your homework before the process begins.
I find it very interesting your stress on the lyrics, which I also concur is very important. And I find that a lot of vocal directors don't stress that enough. Do you notice that when you're in the audience at other people's productions?
I sometimes do, but again, why do we do music theater? You're going to hear me say this probably throughout today, but we're telling stories. And that's the basis of theater. So if you're not connecting to the lyrics, you are totally missing the point of what music theater is.
Now, different theater companies rehearse for different lengths of time. What do you feel is the optimum amount of time needed to bring a musical from audition to stage?
I guess it varies depending on the groups you're working with, but optimally, I like 8 to 10 weeks for a rehearsal period with a with 1 week of tech. I think if you stretch it out too much, then the intensity level kind of dissipates. But it just varies from company to company.
Now, going back to your relationship with the artistic director, have you ever experienced where you just couldn't get on the same page?
I've never had that experience. I've been very fortunate to work with amazing directors. So for me personally, I have found that the people I've worked with have been very flexible, and we've had disagreements, but we've certainly come to agreements within our discussions and can work through things.
Okay. Now, I once worked with a very talented vocal director by the name of Virginia Zamonis, and she said that she could tell right away, within just a few measures, if somebody could sing well enough for a role in a musical. What are your feelings on the subject?
I would probably agree with her, because you can kind of hear in someone's voice right away their style, their pitch and tone quality. I do like to sometimes give them a little bit more of an opportunity to sing, because sometimes the nerves, especially for somebody that's never auditioned before, they might let those nerves settle, you know, let them settle to be able to show off a little bit better. Or sometimes I'll stop them and say, hey, let's just try it again. Now take a deep breath. Try again. You know, we're here to support you, and we want you to show your best.
Yeah, I think it's important for an artistic team to let the auditioner know that we're in your corner. We want you to succeed.
Absolutely. That's why we have auditions. We want the best person to walk in that room for the role.
Yes. Now, speaking of auditions, are there any common mistakes that you often see in auditions that maybe you could advise our listeners to avoid?
I think there's a few things that you might want to take into consideration, but one thing I do tell someone, or when they ask me to give audition advice, don't imitate recordings. Be who you are and be the voice that you have been given. That's what we want. But make sure you're also choosing songs that represent you and show your best, you know, best range, and kind of show your personality. One thing, too, that you might want to be careful of, especially when you're auditioning for maybe community theater, is don't perhaps choose extremely difficult songs or with extremely difficult accompaniments, because a lot of times these pianists are sight reading music, and you want to feel very confident with, you know, with your song selection.
That's a great, great tip. Now, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give to someone planning to audition for a musical?
I think the song you choose, you have to connect to. Highlight your voice. Do your research. When you sing the song, I think it's important to know the story. You have maybe 1 minute to show somebody your acting and singing abilities within the song. So you have to do your research. Don't come in with singing maybe a new song that you've never really done research on. Sometimes a director might want you to sing a song from the show and you don't have as much time to prepare it. But I think come in with something that you are confident with and can sing anytime, anywhere, and really connect to.
Brilliant advice. Very, very good. Now, when you do have to learn a song for a show where they want a specific song from the show for the auditions,
yes.
Do you have any advice there in trying to learn something quick?
Again, it goes back to, listen to it. Do your research, though. You need to know where this song comes from in the musical, where it lies in the plot. But listen, but don't feel like you have to sound like the Broadway recording. I find that I just like somebody that brings their own value to the song.
Yeah. Now, what criteria do you usually judge a vocalist by when they are auditioning?
Pitch is important. Can you sing in tune? I think that is important. Tone quality, rhythm. Do you have the basic sense of rhythm? And, again, connection to the song. But But sometimes I like to see if they can take direction. Maybe I'll ask them to stop and say, hey, can you try singing it this way? Just to see if they're willing to be flexible.
And how important is it for actors to work with a private vocal coach, maybe as a part of their weekly routine?
I really think this is very valuable. I've often had people come to me like a day before an audition. And yes, I can work with them and help them, but when you come to me like a couple times before, I can give you some advice, and then you can take home, live with it, sing with it, breathe with it, and then keep trying things. And I think that way you can incorporate it more into your audition. That doesn't always work because financially it's a big commitment. But it's like anything. The more you practice, the more you repeat it, it helps solidify what you're trying to do.
And what should an actor consider when they're choosing an audition song? Obviously not something for an audition where they want something from the show, because that's an immediate kind of a need where you just have to jump in front of the guns. When you're just picking an audition song that you have in your repertoire that you can pull out at any time, what are the considerations for choosing something like that?
I think that is very important, and you can still work with your coach to even bring something that maybe you have had in your repertoire to bring new light. I think you need to keep things fresh, and you still need to work on them. I think that is a very valuable thing. And have a book that has several styles of music, because there's golden age musicals, there's contemporary musicals. I think it's very important to kind of have a genre of each style in your book.
And now, we talked a little bit about vocal coaches. What mm-hmm. qualities should a vocalist look for when choosing a vocal coach?
Well, first of all, do you have a connection with the coach? Can you, I don't know, sometimes I would often say, can I have a trial lesson before, you know, I commit to being with you? Do you connect with them? Can you understand what they're trying to tell you? Often I say, can they demonstrate to you what you need to work on? I think it's very important to, you know, just have that connection and being able to just, you know, take direction from them.
Mm-hmm. Now, interesting, on the topic of direction, which is harder, teaching an actor to sing or teaching a singer to act?
Oh, that's a good question. Again, I think that just kind of depends on who you're working with. There are challenges with both. The one thing is singing is a manifestation of your speaking voice. So I think you can use that as a tool with somebody that maybe isn't as comfortable with singing. Use that to get the best out of their voice. I think singers that act, you know, they are so focused on the perfection of their voice that if you can get them to release the idea that it doesn't always have to be perfect, that really it's about telling the story, maybe you can help them in that way as well.
And putting some feeling into those lyrics.
Exactly, exactly.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we are discussing the role of the vocal director in stage musicals. Joining me is accomplished vocal director Susan Falbo. Now, Susan, from your perspective, what is the biggest challenge when it comes to casting a musical?
For me, I think it is building the relationship between the actors. I think there needs to be chemistry. And because I think the most important thing is telling the story and building relationships and getting that story out so it's authentic. So I think finding the chemistry between people is the biggest challenge.
And what are some of the considerations that you personally weigh when you're deciding if you want to apply to vocal direct a show?
For me, it often has to do with timing. I have a family, and my family has always come first, but it also has to do with, is it a story I can connect with? I like to be challenged. So sometimes it's story out of my box or a musical that's a little out of my box. But I go for that because I want to personally be challenged.
All right. Now, okay. What is your favorite composer?
Oh, my. Well, I have been involved in music my whole life. So, boy, that's tough. there's different genres, too. So if we're talking music theater, boy, it's really hard. But I guess I'd have to say I have kind of a love for Sondheim and Bernstein.
Mm-hmm.
I love to listen to opera, though. I love to listen to rock music. I love to listen to, the list could go on and on. I don't know if I have particular favorites.
Great. That shows great diversity.
The one thing that I need to work on is listening to more rap. I haven't been a big rap listener, but boy, I just want to start appreciating it and understanding where that's coming from. So that's on my challenge and bucket list.
And you'll need to know that whenever Hamilton becomes available.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned, sometimes you look forward to a show, a bucket list. Do you have a bucket list of shows you'd like to vocal direct?
I think one show I would really love to vocal direct would be Les Mis.
Oh.
It kind of fits, where I've come from in my training. I love the story. I think if there was one show, that would probably be on the top of my bucket list.
Yes. What did you think of the movie adaptation?
I enjoyed it. The fact that you saw something up so close and so personal, it brought a whole new aspect to it. I don't think it compares to seeing it in person. I just love the idea of seeing something live, because I believe the audience is a member. They bring something to that show just as the actors do. There's something, there's chemistry, there's magic in just everybody being a participant.
Yeah, I've also seen the Les Mis in concert. There's been two of them, and both just moving. The music is just so moving.
Yeah.
Now, what is the best part of being a vocal director?
I love the collaboration process. I love working with the team. I love bringing the story to life, and I do enjoy seeing the growth of everybody involved. And I think growth doesn't happen just in the cast. I think it happens with the directing team as well.
How so?
I think that, because it is so collaborative, sometimes when you see something, somebody brings something to their role that you didn't maybe anticipate, you tuck that away. You tuck that away for future things that you might be working on.
Now, if somebody wanted to become a vocal director, what advice would you give them?
I say, I think it's important to walk on the stage and be part of a show, because how do you know what an actor feels if you've never done that?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's just being in an ensemble, I think it's important to see it from their side. Practice. You have to practice. You have to study. Listen, get vocal, even sometimes I think vocal directors who have been teaching, I think once in a while maybe take a lesson yourself, because sometimes it's important to keep your growth going as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same goes for public school teachers having to do continuing education hours.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned family before. And so I know you have two sons who are both amazing performers.
I also have a daughter who has a beautiful voice.
I've
too,
never
by
met
the way.
Your daughter. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you had the chance to work with your oldest son, Rob Falbo Jr., on the musical Mamma Mia. What is it like to work with one of your children?
Oh, it's one of the best things you can ever do. I just had such a blast with it. I have kids that are very respectful and they are just so wonderful to work with. There were some silly moments, like he didn't know whether to call me mom. sometimes it's hard, you know, to step. You have to kind of take your mom hat off and put your director hat on. But really, it was one of the. It's one of the best experiences that you can ever go through.
And so. What does your daughter do in the arts?
She has always been a singer. She did some high. She did her high school musical. She kind of tended to go more towards the sports volleyball realm, but.
Okay.
She sings in church, and she's just got a beautiful voice as well.
Oh, I look forward to hearing it. Now, your youngest son, Ricky Falbo, has done a lot of professional work. Do you work with him at home as his vocal coach?
I did in the beginning stages. We really didn't have time to, like, work on, like, his voice as much because he was always busy, like, being in shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to say, recently, because of COVID, we actually have been working with one of my former students. So it's been fun because I'm having him sing for my former student while I sit at the piano, and then he kind of gives him tips, and it's kind of like a circle, you know, a wonderful circle that I helped, you know, form this child, and now he's forming my child, and we're collaborating together, and then Ricky and I work in between the lessons. It's been such a blast.
That is great. Now, do you ever get the itch to perform yourself?
I do sometimes. I used to perform a little more. Unfortunately, about 10, 12 years ago, I went through some pretty bad vocal damage just because I was overusing my voice mm-hmm. in teaching and, you know, doing all of my church positions. So I kind of am dealing with a little bit of performance anxiety, which sounds crazy because I used to be able to do it all the time. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you don't use it, you kind of lose it.
That's very true. you know, one of my pet peeves is when I'm in the audience and an actor on stage gets to the point in the musical where it's time for a song and they stop acting and just sing. And do you have any pet peeves when it comes to musical theater performers?
I think that is one of my biggest as well. I totally agree with you. And just, you know, not helping build the relationships and telling that story. And sometimes I feel like they make a choice, but they don't follow through with their choice on stage. And I feel like if you make a choice, stay with that choice.
Now, in any industry, there are people with big egos. Theater is no exception to that. Is it a challenge to work with people who have a little bit of an ego?
You know, maybe I don't want to say they have an ego. I think perhaps they're just extremely confident.
Okay.
So maybe they just really know what they want. And I guess, you know, sometimes I think in the theater world, that's important. It's a hard industry, so being confident can be a tool, but just as long as that confidence doesn't get in the way of being open and flexible to new ideas, I think that's more important.
You put that very, very well. I agree entirely. Now, is it ever too late to get started in theater?
Absolutely not. You know, stories need to be told, and, you know, it involves all spectrums of race, age, religion, on and on. I think if you have an itch, go try it, because you have a story inside of you, and you might bring something to theater that somebody else can't.
And now, why do you think that performing is so addictive for people?
I don't really think it is for recognition. I think it is because they love theater. They love the richness, the variety it brings. Yes, having an audience makes it extra special, and there's a magic in having that thunderous applause, but I don't think people do it for the applause. I think they really do it because they want to create. They want to collaborate. I think that's what's so addicting about it.
Yeah.
That is for me anyway. That's why I love it.
Okay. Now, what do you consider when you're selecting a project to work on?
again, for me, it's timing. Timing, and then I do like to challenge myself, so I try to pick things that do connect with me, but do take me out of my box to look into the box. So I think that's what draws me to certain things.
And what are some of your favorite shows that you have had the chance to work on?
Boy, I've loved them all. When I took a break for a long time from music theater, my first one getting kind of back into as a vocal director was Wedding Singer.
Ah.
Totally out of my box. Totally a story out of my box. And music style was definitely out of my genre at that point. But it brought me back into the theater world and brought me to open up to doing new things. So I loved that one. I recently did Sound of Music. So it kind of, once I was Maria, so I got to connect as, you know, I did it on stage, but now I'm behind the scenes and helping others. So Amamiya was great. I don't know. I love them all.
Very good. Very good. I want to thank you for listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. I hope you've enjoyed today's show as much as I enjoyed it. Our guest today has been Susan Falbo. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. We look forward to hearing about your continued success. Do you have any projects coming up?
I don't have anything lined up currently.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. And,
thank you. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Take care.
You too. And keep telling stories.